these guys didn't have a home. They traveled around a lot. They were just kind of a, you've heard the expression, bone on your own. And they were exorcists. Now, when I, you got to understand, when I grew up in, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, okay? You have to forgive me. But there is a movie called The Exorcist when I grew up. That was like a changing movie. Like, I wish I had never seen it. But it was just, so it forever gave me a certain viewpoint of what an exorcist was. Okay? In any case, weird is the word, right? Right? Weird. These guys are weird. They're weird. They're strange. They do strange stuff, and they go for the really strange, out there, miracle type stuff. Now, really what it means, really what it means is they believed in formulas. That word exorcism, the word in the Greek, it means formula. They believed that if you just bound somebody with an oath, or if you said everything just the right way, you would get what you needed. It wasn't the power of God, and it wasn't faith. It was just saying the formula right. So they would say, now I have to say it, in the name of the Lord. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Where people get really like, they put their faith in, it's a form of witchcraft where you think that if I just say it or do it or put my hand just a certain way or say a certain thing or do this or that, they had a formula where it wasn't God, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. They just thought if we do it a certain way, it'll work every time. Now, does that come home a little more to you? Have you ever been that way? I have. Maybe nobody else here has been that way. But there was a season and time when I've had to say, am I just trying to do it right because it's like I put more faith, more. Have you ever heard people that put more faith in faith than faith in God? Right. Or more faith in the formula? Really, that's what you're saying, is I'm putting more faith in the formula than faith in the living God. Because it's not a formula. You don't follow a formula. You know, a lot of religious arguments go over formulas. Like, how about the formula of baptism? There are people that will shun you if you don't use the right formula to stick someone under the water. Yeah. War has been fought. Yeah. Like, what is the purpose? I mean, that's like missing, like totally missing the point. I remember I was in college. Now, I did a lot of stupid stuff in college. Okay. I remember somebody getting healed one time because I was in my dorm room and I was taking a nap in the middle of the day and somebody wanted healing. So I just said, come on in. I don't care. Just come in. I was so tired. They just literally put my hand. They picked my hand up, put it on their head and said, I'm just believing God for healing. John, would you pray for me? I said, okay, be healed in Jesus' name. Put my hand down. I went back to sleep and they left. They got healed. I didn't even hardly know what I said. But God healed them. Why? God is God. He can do whatever he likes. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't play footloose and fancy. You know what I mean? We don't be irresponsible. You know, but what I'm saying is don't put your faith in formulas and don't live a kind of life where you think if I just say it just a certain way or do it a certain way or move a certain way. And I love the demons. They go, oh, yeah. I call it the sin of Uzzah because Uzzah disrespected the presence of God. They put their hand on it. They tried to make it a man thing instead of a God thing. Anyway, they would invoke a name or call on something. And so they use Jesus' name. Oh, they go, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now, their favorite TV preacher was Paul. They watched him on the internet every day. So they preached just like him. They sounded like him. They acted like him. They dressed like him. There's nobody like that on TV that does that. No, you hear what I'm saying? They were trying to imitate something without having a real experience with God. It was man-centered. And so they, I don't know, I don't want to stay here too long. We'll all just laugh and I don't want to waste your time. I really don't. So they said, I adjure you by, I'm using an oath, right? I'm using an exorcist formula by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. They go, yeah, we know Jesus. And we know about Paul. We know about him, but who are you? Who are you? Who are you? What do you have in you that I need to be afraid of? Guess who you have in you? Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you've got Jesus in your heart, every demon in hell is afraid of you. Because he's there. It's not some formula. It's who is in you and who you are. Who are you? Good question to ask. Who am I in Christ? Am I really his child? Am I really? Sometimes you have to just say, what am I? Am I living? You know, am I doing this? Or I'm just going through the motions. I don't want to stay too long because I want to get to my last point. Okay, so I love it. You know what the man with the demon in him jumped on him, beat him up really good. All seven of them. That's a pretty strong dude. He must have been trained in martial arts or something. I don't know. Anyway, it mastered them all, overpowered them, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. He ripped their clothes off, and they went running in their underwear. And naked most of the time means underwear. And then it became known. Here's what I love about God, okay? You got to believe this about God. God will take our foolishness and use it to his advantage. That's awesome. I love God. There's a principle in the scripture. I'm not preaching on it today. But there's a principle in the scripture that says that God is proved righteous by man's unrighteousness. That God will actually get look better when we act more dumb. And that's okay. That's a principle in God. It's in Romans. You see in the first couple chapters. So these guys actually benefited the gospel by acting so ridiculous. And I believe that God will use anything he wants. He's such a big God. He can take man's foolishness and turn it for the good. Now, that doesn't give me license or anybody license to act foolish. Don't get me wrong. I'm not looking for license. But I know that God can take man's foolishness and still do what he wants us to do. It says the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail. It says that everybody that heard about it, it actually helped spark a revival. People got afraid. Don't you mess with the devil. Because Paul, man, all those devils need is a skirt from Paul. A little piece of cloth and demons were coming out. And here were these guys in these high priestly robes looking big and bad doing the exorcism thing. And they get all beat to pieces. When they just take an old work cloth from Paul working on the tents and demons are... You see what I'm saying? You see how God was creating this revival? They're going, wow, look what God is doing. They realized what was really happening and revival broke out. So much so that they started selling all their witchcraft books. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Huh? Burn them. Like me burning my rock and roll records back in the... I said, I ain't going to be no one's slave, I remember. It's like, okay, all right, now let's go on. The last one, Felix. So we're going to skip down now to the end of the. I want you to see Felix. And are you okay with me on this, or you got a little more time? I gave you notes so I can go quick. So I'm trying not to stay on my points too long. Paul meets this guy named Felix. Okay, and I just want to share this with you because I see this as the powerful elite, and I see this in Western civilization. I see this everywhere. I could say it's in people in the American church, but I guess not just America. It's anywhere where you've got somebody that has power and they've got money, they've got power, and they're in control. And this is a sad story. And this is the story that I don't want to be like him either. I don't want to be a religious fanatic relying on formulas. I want to have reality. Okay? I want to be better. I don't want to just know something. I want to really know it and really experience it like Apollos. And I want to be just like the salt of the earth Ephesians that are just hungry. Just teach me whatever and I'll just go for it. Right? Now you've got Felix. It's not what you know, but when you know it. Because Felix was, if you start in verse 24, it says, Paul was taken safely to Felix, the governor, in this town called Caesarea. we're in chapter 23. So I'm going to skip over much of the story. But I want you to see this, okay? Look at the testimony of the centurion. The centurion writes a letter to Felix in verse 30. In verse 30 of chapter 23, he says, "And when it was disclosed to me that there would be a plot against the man, Paul, I sent him to you at once." Everybody say at once.
At once.
Okay, so this guy was a really good soldier. He didn't mess around and he didn't waste time. Okay, so they took Paul to Felix. Okay, now Felix gets the letter. And look at verse 34. On reading the letter, he asked what province Paul was from. And when he learned that he was from Cilicia, which is a town farther away, he said, "I will give you a hearing when your accusers come." So he says, "We're going to wait a while. We're going to wait a while." So I want you to see this is a pattern in Felix's life. This guy was a procrastinator. Okay, he was always looking for a reason to put it off. God help us. Okay, so 5 days later, everybody comes up. See the chapter 24? See that? They bring a fancy-talking lawyer named Tertullus. This guy is really, really good. And so Tertullus gives a big speech for Felix with Paul there. And then Paul gives his defense, right, in chapter 24. And then we're going to skip down to verse 22. All right. But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off. Let's wait a while. Let's procrastinate. When Lysias, the tribune, comes down, I'll decide your case. So he waits again, even though he hears one testimony, Tertullus, the fancy-talking lawyer who's just talking smack. And then Paul, who's telling the truth, he won't make a decision. He says, I'll wait. Okay, he waits. So he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody and to have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be preventing him from keeping his needs. So he was very kind to Paul. And Felix had an accurate understanding. That's the same term that they used about Apollos. So he knew the gospel. He knew the story of the way, which is Christians. Okay, that was the term they used in back then. And so he really knew what was going down, just like Apollos did. Same word, but he did not change. He just kept putting it off. So Felix came down with his wife in verse 24. Who was Jewish. That's probably one of the reasons why he knew what was going on. His wife was giving him the 411 on what was happening. And he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ. So Paul preaches the good news. And he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment. Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for now." I don't want to decide now. When I get an opportunity, or when it's convenient. Everybody say convenient. Oh, man. God have mercy. I will summon you. And so he hoped that money would be given him. And he sent for him often and talked to him. And that word conversed is the homily. We get the word homiletics. It means that they had chats now. They stopped having dialogue. He didn't really want to listen anymore and talk. Just talk to me. He was disengaged now from the conversation. And so when time elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. What a name. And desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. How long was it? It was a long time. 2 years. 2 years. He had Paul come talk to him. How would you like to have the Apostle Paul talk to you about Jesus for 2 years, anytime you wanted? Did he receive Christ?
No.
No record of it. So let's see about Felix. Let's see if we can relate to Felix. Felix had an accurate knowledge of the gospel. So could you say that he attended church for at least 2 years? Kind of. How about the Apostle Paul, like the most amazing apostle, being his pastor? Like Bible school for 2 years. So he was a church-going boy. Yeah. Anytime he wanted. He just flipped that TV on and watched the best preaching in the world. Get on the internet. Best preaching. Did he really make a decision for God ever? No. Did he really have an accurate understanding of things? Yes. That's right. Isn't that amazing? Could that sound like you or me, or maybe people around here, or you know what I'm saying? Like, can you conceive that being like maybe people that go to church that never quite really do anything with what they hear? Yeah. Sleeper cells, maybe? They're signed up, but they're not really doing anything for God. Maybe. Right? But they're in church. They sent for Paul and dialogued. And okay, now I'm going to tell you, what were the three things that made him tremble? I thought this is really interesting. What were the three topics that got to Felix that kind of scared him, that he didn't want to hear a whole lot more about? First thing is righteousness, right? Second thing was self-control. And the third thing was judgment. And would you say that that's a topic that you hear a lot in churches? Or
no.
Usually it's like, well, God loves you. Yeah, he does love you. Yeah, but he'll kick you in the tail if you don't do the right thing. You see what I'm saying? But sometimes they leave the kick you in the tail part out. They'll just say he loves you. Or how about self-control? That means it's up to you to stop your bad old self. And just get it together and stop playing. See, now I'm just going to share with my own experience because you may not be like me. But my whole church structure when I was growing up, before I got born again, is you came to church and the first thing you said is, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Okay, I'm forgiven. See you later next week. Now, if you structure a church service based on forgiveness for you messing up, what are you going to get from that? Every week, everybody's going to do the same thing. There's no expectation that you're ever going to change, is it? No, because what do you do every week? Mess up, and what do you need to do every week? Repent and get forgiveness. So you don't really change, do you? Do you need self-control?
Yes.
You do. But are you asked to have self-control? No. Oh, no, God's merciful. Right? He's merciful. He's merciful sometimes where he says, if you don't do what I say now, you're not going to get another chance. Do you realize that's mercy? Let me say that again. It's mercy of God to tell you sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes he'll say to you, now, if you don't do what I say now, you will not get another chance. You better do it now. That's mercy. I'm going to be honest with you now, okay? When I was asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit since I was 13 years old. But I didn't go to a church that believed in it. So I just did the repentance thing every week, you know. Every week, just, okay, I know I'm messed up. Forgive me, God. Okay, I'm okay now. I'll go get messed up again, come back and get okay. Because that's all I knew. No one ever said to me, you can have the power of the Holy Spirit not to sin. Right?
Yes.
We get saved not to sin.
Amen.
And if we do sin, we do get forgiveness. But we are saved so we don't sin. Not saved, you know, constantly just getting messed up. Okay. So I was like, I want the Holy Spirit. I really want the Holy Spirit. But there was nobody that I could really get to pray for me because nobody there believed that you could have the Holy Spirit. You just got it. you know? Yes. You know, yeah, you just got it. You got the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I know I have the Holy Spirit? No, you just believe. Well, no evidence, but you just believe. Yes. That was my experience. Yes. Right? So, so I'm seeking the Lord, you know, and I get saved. Thank you, Jesus. I got saved. I was 17 years old. I got saved. Jesus came to me. He says, John, I'm here for you now. It's your time. Okay, Lord. What? You got me.
So you wanted the Holy Spirit at 13, but got saved at 17.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I did a bunch of stupid stuff in between. But I kept trying. I was trying, you know. And then I go to school, and I really don't want to keep you. I go to school, and I come back, and it's New Year's. And I still want to receive the gifts of the Spirit in my life. I still don't have it. I read a book. I sought the Lord in my room. I did everything. So I get to this meeting, and it's time. It's time. I'm preaching too long, John. It's it. I'm over. It's done. Y'all see you, babe. Bye. Okay. So I'm in this meeting. It's New Year's Eve. And you know what? I hear the Lord speak to me. He says, ask to receive the Holy Spirit now. Wow. Now. Wow. And like there's a room of people like this. Wow. Ask them to pray for you. But Lord, I'm scared. I don't want these. They're going to be like, look at me. They're all going to like just single me out. Like, what if I don't? Like, what if I don't speak in tongues? What if nothing happens? He said, if you don't do it now, you may not get it at all. He put the fear of God. God put the fear of God in me. How do you, isn't that awesome? I guess he could do that, can't he? He just said, you may not have another chance. I mean, the Lord is clear as a bell. I was like, all right. Okay. It's like, what's that? Yes, John. Can you, pray for me? Like, what do you want to pray? Well, I really want to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, of course we will. You know, they're like, yes. That's like, yes, we're going to dive on this guy and get him messed up, you know? So, like, they were like, yes. And I'm like, I do not want to be the center of attention. So I'm sitting there, and they're laying hands for me and speaking in tongues. And I'm like sitting there going, oh, God, what do I do? How do I talk? What do I say? What do I do? And he's like, just sit there, you know. So I'm just receiving. I'm trying because it's not like I can make it up. You know, I just can't fake things. Like, I couldn't fake that. So, like, he's like, okay. And so I'm like, what do I do? And then this old man, Brother John, he was like this old guy that, like, had, like, Jesus all over him. You ever meet somebody like that? They're, like, so full of Jesus, you're like, you are amazing. I cannot believe you. So, like, he just walks up to me, kind of laughing. He says, just put your hands up. That's all I did. Close my, boom, Holy Spirit released my prayer language. Just like that. But God had to put the fear of God in me because he wanted me not to waste any more time. Put it off. And Felix, we need to pray that, number one, we are not acting like Felix.
Amen.
We don't want to be a Felix. To have the best teaching in the world, to have the most amazing understanding of the word, and yet we don't really say, yes, I'm going to do everything you want me to do. I'm in. I'm not going to put it off anymore. And so that's my personal story. I don't know what yours is. But I don't want you to put it off either. So, I don't want to be replaced by Porcius Festus either.
Let's go where
twice removed. Twice removed, yeah. I don't want to be... Like, I don't want in my record, like, okay, I just had to send Porcius in to take your place because you just wouldn't do what I wanted you to do for all those years. You just would say, maybe another day. So, can we pray and say, I want to be like Apollos. How many of you want to be like Apollos? And that may not be your main gifting, but I want more accuracy in what I'm living in. All right, so can we ask the Lord for that?
Yes.
Father God, we just ask you to be like Apollos, that we would let Priscilla and Aquila teach us how to have a better understanding and be more accurate so that we're walking in some power. It's not just good talk. Thank God that some of us are really good talkers. And Lord, we just ask you, make us more like Apollos to just be recommissioned. And I believe there's going to be people here that are going to be recommissioned with more power. Amen. Father, if whoever they are, Lord, you know who they are, that you're going to recommission them. You're going to give them more power and you're going to send them out and they are going to tear up the enemy. They're going to make Jesus so real to people that people will know what to say. They just want to say, there's like, you are right. You are right. This is Jesus is right. Yeah, I can't tell you anything now. I just know. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we want to be like those Ephesian salt of the earth folks that just want everything that you have, Lord. They just step right into it. We don't know nothing. We just want to know you. We just want, Paul, go ahead. You say, lay your hands on. Go ahead. Lay your hands on me, Paul. I'll take it. I want more of the Holy Spirit. I just want you, Holy Spirit. And Lord, forgive us for being religious formulaic people. Forgive us for thinking that it's somehow if we just say it a certain way or if we try. Lord, I like to imitate other people in the ministry. I thank you for those godly people. But Lord, I need to know you for myself.
Amen.
I need to know you for myself.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, God, we need you, Jesus, for ourselves. Who are you? Lord, we're going to ask that question. We're going to ask the question, who am I? So I want the demons not to say, who are you? I want them to say, oh, yeah, we know you. So, Lord, Lord, help us. And last but not least, Lord, we don't want to be like Felix. We don't want to be in such a position of power or control where we can just tell Paul to go away. I'll just get you when it's convenient. Forgive us, Lord, for making the Word of God something that we just conveniently listen to. Lord, let it be like our daily bread. But we know that we just don't eat if we don't have it. We don't have your Word, we just don't eat. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to let us not be controlled by what other people think. That we would just embrace you no matter what. And Lord, if we have to lose everything, we'll lose it for you. If you say, okay, just, Lord, just, we ask you, Lord, to cause us to respond to your Word. And Lord, we pray for ourselves, but we're also praying for other people in our town and this country. And Lord, also for places where people have heard the Bible for years and yet they still don't know Jesus for themselves. They haven't made a decision. Lord, forgive us, but forgive them too. Father, let us be faithful to share our testimony with others so that we would see real revival take place in America. Lord, we want to see revival here. We want to see revival continue, Lord, other places of the world. Father, we want to be hungry for you and do what it needs.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we just pray, break off every kind of religious bondage that we might have that keeps us from going to the well every day. We're drinking from the well. I am drinking from the well. I am drinking from the well. I am drinking from the well of living water. I am drinking from the well. I am drinking from the well. I am drinking from the well of living waters. Now let's say it and really mean it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will run, I will run, I will run, I will run after you. I will run, I will run, I will run, I will run after you. I will run, I will run, I will run, I will run after you. I will run, I will run, I will run, I will run after you. Straight into your arms, Lord. Amen. Amen. We know that we run after you. You're waiting for us, Lord, with arms wide open. Lord, I break off of anybody, any feeling that somehow that Jesus won't take him into his arms. Amen. That if you run, he will embrace you. Amen.